Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the New Year's Eve edition. Hope each and every one of you are out there, got something smoking or cooking on your back deck and going to celebrate this upcoming 2017 and put 2016 behind us. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
What's cooking is the tail end of a cold, so pardon me if I cough and blow my nose and just sound pretty disgusting on the radio.
Kind of is the season for that. I had it about a week ago, and I hit it hard with the coldies and the Zycams and all of those, and by golly, I'm a believer. I shortened that thing to about 4 days, which it's usually a week, and I only had one really bad day. Yep. From it.
And, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
But usually what I find, I do the Coldies gummies,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get them in Colorado. But
right.
I find that towards the tail end, you get like a sinus rush for like a day. That's where I'm at right now. So
yeah.
I bypassed all the junk too, and
yeah.
I'm with you, man. And I think you turned me on to Zycam about 7 or 8 years ago, you and maybe Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, well, I don't know about Rush, but the bottom line is find something that works for you and do what they say it does, and then it works out because it does shorten that and you feel better and life gets back to normal.
Yeah, it's that time of year too when we've got babies in the house and the babies have had a cold for like a week. They give it to each other and then they get over it, and it, you know, it just goes in a circle. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah.
I want to just chat with Ryan at 10.buck17 on Twitter, who kind of chided me, and he said, I heard you say that only young doe is worth eating, LOL. I shot a 5.5-year-old buck, hung it for 10 days in the cool, best ever. So,
well, there's a lot about that, Bob.
Is
letting it hang is the key, and what he just said there is that you want to get that blood out of that meat, and
yeah.
the longer you let it hang, rather, the better it's going to be. It ages.
Well,
if you will.
Actually, Tim Sobey told us for venison, it's not going to age like beef. So there is a point where you don't want to you do want to process it. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what that line really is. I've done it all sorts of different ways. This year, I just let that doe hang for a day and a half and took her in because it was warm. I didn't
right.
dare.
Well, and the key is hanging them upside with the head down and the tail
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
All that blood rushes out. And,
yeah.
And you
I know the feeling.
Right.
Yeah. but anyway, thanks for that, Ryan. I didn't necessarily mean, and I don't even know what I said, but I've eaten a lot of buck that are tasty. What I was probably trying to say is there's nothing better than a young doe.
Right.
So let's clarify
all
that.
Right.
I had an interesting, we have a bunch of people in our house right now and they won't leave. So my wife's constantly picking things up and throwing them into the lower level, which is where my office is and three of the bedrooms. It's a walkout ranch. And, so she'll grab shoes and throw them downstairs instead of, you know, waiting for the kids to, you know, a year later, take care of them.
And these aren't really young kids either.
No. They're in their 20s.
Right.
They're college.
Still kids,
though. They're college kids. Well, actually, Maggie's 28, and she has all these wedge platform this and that, and she's got these fancy shoes. And there was a pair of these high heel kind of boot things with this big wedge heel. And Maureen intended to throw them down the steps, but one of them was sitting on the steps. And I redid my staircase.
Oh, here we go.
I redid my staircase, and I took some old carpet samples and cut them into pads for the tops because I didn't want to do new carpeting on them because I knew we were redoing the floors. So I just used some scraps, and then I took sassafras plates and nailed them to the front. It looks really cool. The bad part is, as I'm nailing them on, I thought, man, you don't ever want to fall down these steps because the sharp edge of this board's going to really hurt versus the carpeted threads.
So now you're speaking from the experience?
So I'm walking downstairs with my hands full. I had a plate of nachos I was bringing to my son Alex as a little surprise gift, and I stepped on that high heel halfway down the steps, and it kind of tipped over, which sent my foot forward into the next step, which sent me on a slide down on your back version of going down
the stairs.
Did
you save the nachos?
I tried. I failed.
So there's Zeus's nachos.
Salsa everywhere. The nachos, half of them were still on the plate. Zeus loved them.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I laid at the bottom of those steps moaning for, it seemed like a week, but it was only a couple minutes before somebody heard, Alex heard the commotion, wondering what dropped down the stairs. Well, it was his dad.
Right.
And I'm telling you, man, I am a sore puppy dog because that was not cool.
Well, yeah, that's not good at all. And nobody felt guilty, right? It was just like, well, you should have saw that shoe. That's how that
That's exactly how that played. You are so wise. I'm getting ready to take my bride down to St. Thomas when I get back from my business trip out west. And we're going to go to an island called Joost Van Dyke with my buddy Carl and his wife. And they've been going there for like 10 years. And we go to all-inclusives all the time. And they keep telling us about this trip they take. And they'd stay for like a month. Because you're basically camping on the ocean. And as much as I love my all-inclusives, when they would tell me about theirs, every year it sounded better and better and better. The first time they told me, I'm like, oh, man, you don't have somebody bringing you a Frozen the pool. You know? And now it's like we camp so much. We got all excited and they invited us down. So we're now prepping for that 10 days on the beach in Joost Van Dyke. And I'm finding all sorts of people in America that actually go to Joost Van Dyke. I mean, it's a little bitty island. It's only like a mile across and maybe 2-3 miles long. It's pretty small, but it's got some famous haunts on it. And people boat in there for the day.
Is it civilized? I mean, are there stores and stuff that you can buy supplies and things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is a resort, camping resort we're going to. So it's called Ivan's Stress Free Resort. And it's got,
KOA of the sea.
A cabana kitchen you can use for all your cooking and stuff. And then it's got a restaurant you can eat at and a big bar up on top. And so you can kind of combine things. But we're doing a bunch of hiking, and we're going to have a lot of fun bringing their snorkel gear. And really haven't been in the Caribbean in several years and kind of miss that beautiful water. So
sure,
really looking forward to that.
And should be a good trip.
Yeah.
Sounds like it might be economical, too, if you're just camping.
Well, you'd think so, but it probably saves you 70.
How do you get there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's,
I mean, you got to fly to somewhere.
It's a bunch of ferries where they don't fly you there. Oh. The ferries are boats. But we're flying to St. Thomas, and then we got to take a boat over to Tortola, and then another boat to Joost Van Dyke. It's an epic venture.
Hey, you're going to be down there with Skipper and the Gilligan. That's
good,
man.
Yes, and my buddy from Pennsylvania is going to be in St. Thomas at the same time, so he's going to get a boat and shoot over and spend the day with us. So,
he's a smart one. He's going to get in and get out. He's not going to camp on the beach, but you'll have a fun time.
We love camping.
You guys are
campers. It's going to be an experience. So.
Yeah, well, very good.
I know you're not a camper.
No, not much. Nope, I like running water. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. But coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about some hors d'oeuvres for your New Year's Eve bash. It is New Year's Eve, and Barbecue Bob and I take this time and reflect back a little bit about all the blessings and the fun times we had in the past year and what we're looking forward to in the next. And we might cover some of that with you as well, because we had a few really cool outings this year that we went to, and it's worth rehashing that stuff. And
yes,
kind of when you get together on New Year's Eve with people,
for sure.
You know, I'm not a big go someplace and pay a bunch of money to sit in somebody's chair and listen to a DJ or something. I'm more like be at home.
You don't like the fake hat,
right? And create my own little party. And
we're
going to be doing that with a bunch of food too, as you would expect the grilling guys to do. So maybe we'll break down some of that as well.
What if the DJ stinks? Right.
Right.
Be your own DJ.
Yeah, and $7 glasses of champagne, and right. We just made a run down to Fen Valley. Barbecue Bob did earlier this week, and so brought back some great wine, and we'll be trying a little bit of that too. And you might hear from the proprietor of Fen Valley a little bit later in the show. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.